Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you want to be wise? Only a fool wouldn't, right? At the end of his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells a parable of a wise and a foolish builder. Two men who built their houses. The foolish man built his house on the sand, and the wind and the waves tore his house down. Of a wise man who built his house on the rock, and neither wind nor waves could move that man's house. So Jesus concluded his Sermon on the Mount, recorded for us in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. Some of the wise words on which the wise man is to build are before us in today's gospel, the verses that come right before that parable of the wise and the foolish builders. The words on which we as Christians are to build so that the wind and the waves don't tear our house down. Words here in our gospel that maybe you don't think about on a daily basis, but you should. If you would be wise, if you would build your house on the rock, then hear, take heed, do these words that Jesus gives you in today's gospel. Watch out for false prophets. That's what the wise man does. What is a false prophet? A prophet is one who proclaims a message from God. A false prophet is one who claims to proclaim a message from God, but in reality his message does not come from God. Sometimes false prophets really are scam artists who lie to you intentionally. But at the end of our gospel today, in the verses from this text, Jesus makes it clear that more often than not, false prophets honestly believe they're serving the Lord Jesus and on the last day will expect to be rewarded by him with eternal life in his kingdom as they proclaim him to be the Lord. But Jesus says that in reality they did not know him, and even worse, were not known by him. There have always been false prophets, and there always will be false prophets. You heard of some of them in the Old Testament lesson today, Jeremiah's day, the prophets who claimed to be speaking for Yahweh, the Lord, and yet what was their message to the people? The Lord God declares to you peace, even though the people he was talking to despised the Lord God and his word. That wasn't the Lord's message to them. You heard the Apostle Paul in the second lesson today warn the pastors, the elders of the Ephesian congregations in the book of Acts, warn them of the false prophets that were bound to come, savage wolves, as he called them, men who would arise even from their own congregation and who would distort the truth of God's word. So watch out, Paul said, be on your guard. Watch out, Jesus says at the end of Matthew chapter 24, for many will go out in his name to deceive, and they will deceive many. Paul warns Pastor Timothy of the same thing. The time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. One look at the world today, and you see Jesus was telling the truth. No great surprise. The Apostle Paul was telling the truth. Many have gone out claiming to speak for Jesus, but not speaking for him, and have deceived many people in the process. Many people will not put up with sound doctrine. And get this straight from the gospel. Jesus is not talking about all the false religions and the pagan religions out there, the non-Christian religions of the world. He's talking about false prophets who proclaim him to be Lord, who go out in his name and yet aren't sent by him. He's talking about false prophets within the Christian church. There is a pope in Rome who calls Jesus Lord, who says many nice things about Jesus, many true things about Christian doctrine, no doubt. But his message also is that those who believe that we are justified by faith alone in Christ are to be eternally condemned. His message is that not faith alone in Christ, but faith plus deeds of love are what is necessary for a person to be saved. That Jesus' merits are not enough to cover you. That his blood is not enough to pay for all your guilt, your sufferings. The merits of saints and Mary are required. There is a whole branch of Christianity, of preachers, Pentecostal, evangelical, who call Jesus Lord and teach many right and true things about him, and yet deny the means that the Lord Jesus appointed to distribute his forgiveness. That he forgives us through the preaching of the gospel. They deny that, where they claim that the Holy Spirit is not working through the gospel to distribute forgiveness. They deny forgiveness of sins in baptism, where they say there is not a washing of rebirth and renewal in the Holy Spirit taking place. They deny the forgiveness of sins in the Lord's Supper, where they claim the body and blood of Jesus really are not present. There are prophets in the Lutheran Church, too, who call Jesus Lord, and yet take the word of the Lord and twist it to mean what they want it to mean, where they want it to mean it. No church, including ours, is immune to this plague that God promises will go out on the world, the plague of false teaching and false teachers. No church is immune. No church, no Christian can take the words of Jesus to watch out for false prophets and say, "Ah, I don't need to do that." I say to you what the Apostle John said to his people in 1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Watch out for them, Jesus says. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. They come to you in sheep's clothing, so don't expect to identify them by how impressive they look or by how inspiring they sound. Don't expect to be able to identify them by their outward success in their ministry, or by how good they make you feel, or by the size of the crowd they're able to gather. How then will you identify the false prophets? By their fruit you will recognize them, Jesus says. And what is the fruit of a prophet? What a prophet produces is doctrine and practice. The whole of a person's teaching. That's what the fruit is. So a false prophet may teach many true things, many right things, just as the prophets did in Jeremiah's day. They didn't deny that Yahweh was the Lord or that Moses wrote the first five books of the Old Testament scriptures. Just as in Paul's day, just as in all churches, false prophets teach some true things, but wherever error is mixed into the message, that's what you have to judge by. It's like if you take a lump of unleavened dough and add a little bit of yeast to it. Once you do that, can you really distinguish between the leavened part and the unleavened part of that dough? Or it's like a quart of fine strawberries, but in the middle, touching all the rest, is a rotten, stinking, moldy strawberry. The whole quart gets thrown in the trash. How do you evaluate the fruit, the doctrine and practice of a prophet, a pastor, a teacher? People tell me sometimes as they're looking for a church, I'm looking for a church that teaches in line with what I believe. Do you see how backwards that is? It turns your beliefs into the fount and source of all that is true, and turns your beliefs into the touchstone, the benchmark for judging the doctrine and practice of a preacher. That will not do. You evaluate the fruit of a prophet not by what you happen to believe, but first and foremost by God's word, what God says. Now, every prophet in the history of the Christian church has quoted from the Bible. Satan himself quoted from the Bible when he tempted Jesus in the wilderness. Quoting from the Bible isn't enough to prove a prophet's fruit to be good. Getting straight the whole message of the scriptures, that's what you have to look for. Recognize that throughout the Bible, from start to finish, this is what Jesus said about the scriptures. These are they that testify concerning me. Christ is the goal of all the scriptures, and Christ therefore must be the goal and the focus of all Christian preaching. Anything else obscures Christ, obscures the light of his word, brings in uncertainty, and takes away the comfort of God's people. How did Jesus himself summarize the message that would be proclaimed in his name? On the day of his resurrection, he appeared to his apostles. He opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations." What was the climax and the goal of Peter's Pentecost sermon? You crucified the Lord of life. God raised him from the dead. Now repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. What was the goal and the focus and the content of the Apostle Paul's preaching to the Corinthians? "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." So you evaluate a preacher's preaching by the word of God. Is he calling sin what God's word calls sin? Is he pointing to the cross, not just as a stopping place along the way, but as the goal and the destination? Is he pointing to Christ as everything? Is he preaching repentance and baptism for the forgiveness of sins, or is he preaching something else? Is he preaching Christ crucified and risen from the dead, or is he focusing on something else? Is he preaching forgiveness of sins by faith alone in Christ, or is he preaching forgiveness in such a way that Christ did his part and now it's up to you to do yours? Is he preaching the message of the cross, or is he preaching a message of miracles, a theology of glory, how to have a more fulfilling life on earth message? Look at the fruit. Is it good or is it bad? Watch out for false prophets. There is another test that should be rightly applied to evaluate the fruit of a prophet. Does his message agree with the confessions of our church? You see, the creeds and confessions of the Lutheran Church never introduced a new teaching. Here's what the Bible says, and here's what the Lutheran Church adds. On the contrary, the confessions of our church are simply the scriptures rightly taught and rightly explained. They proclaim the old things, what the Christian church has always taught from the days of the apostles. Alongside with and underneath the scriptures, our confessions are the benchmark by which we as a Lutheran congregation are to judge the doctrine and practice of every pastor and every preacher who comes along to see whether it is good or bad. How good are the confessions? How much do they line up with that Christ-centered preaching? Let me read you just a small portion of how our confessions center their message. Human beings have not kept the law of God, but have transgressed it. Their corrupted human nature, thoughts, words, and deeds battle against the law. For this reason, they are subject to God's wrath, to death and all temporal afflictions, and to the punishment of the fires of hell. As a result, the gospel, in its strict sense, teaches what people should believe, namely, that they receive from God the forgiveness of sins. That is, that the Son of God, our Lord Christ, has taken upon himself the curse of the law and borne it, atoned and paid for all our sins. That through him alone we are restored to God's grace, obtain the forgiveness of sins through faith, and are delivered from death and all punishments of our sins, and are saved eternally. It is good news, joyous news, that God does not want to punish sin, but to forgive it for Christ's sake. That's the message of our confessions. Aren't you glad? Aren't you thankful to have a solid, scriptural, Christ-centered confession like that as the foundation of our church and of our congregation? But we hold it in trembling hands, as we sang in the sermon hymn today, in the hymn of the day. We hold it in trembling hands because we know that we did not deserve to receive this truth placed into our hands, and we know that we are incapable of holding on to it. But the Lord Jesus has given us a promise that his people will not be led astray by false teaching. And Jesus has given the means by which he will fulfill his promise, his word that endures forever, and preachers of it who will produce the good fruit of right teaching and right practice. So, watch out for false prophets. Jesus speaks to you, his disciples, today, and tells you that you have a task before you in your walk as Christians. And it's not easy or comfortable or simple. You have the task of knowing the voice of the shepherd, knowing the truth, and turning away from everyone who does not speak with the shepherd's voice. Fathers, mothers, grandparents, you have the task before you not only of being vigilant for yourselves, but of bringing up your children to watch out with you, to watch out so that they will not be led astray by the imitators, but will know the real voice of their real shepherd. Sunday school classes resume next week, Sunday. Don't make any excuse for not bringing your children to learn the voice of their shepherd so that they can watch out for the imitators. Adult Bible class continues as always, but let it not continue as always that only a handful of people come to learn. There is no substitute for knowing and learning the Savior's voice, for studying His word, which is our only inoculation against the false teaching, the poison of false doctrine. There are many foolish people in this world who build their house on sand, placing their eternal future in jeopardy by not being concerned about knowing the truth and seeking the preachers of the truth. Don't be one of them. Build on the rock of Jesus' word, including His word, to watch out for false prophets. Then you will be wise, and no wind and no wave of false teaching will be able to shake you. Built as you are on the solid rock of the living and enduring Word of God. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.